The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
But one of the things that keeps resurfacing, and I'm so grateful for it, I believe at the turn of the year, the Lord gave me one word for 2014, that was simplicity. And I believe simplicity is something that God wants to do in our lives. In Casey's testimony, he could have simply walked in integrity in those areas, right? How much more simple would that have been rather than the complications of compromise? I'm not picking on you, Casey.
Oh, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I know you are. But compromise brings complication, right? Anytime that there's a compromise made, or anytime there's a lie, or anytime there's something that isn't just kind of the straight and narrow, then compromise opens up and things become complicated. Confusion sets in, and when all of a sudden we're sitting in a place where we just don't know, where did I go wrong? Where did my situation go wrong? Where did, I lose it? Where did I get off track? Anybody been there, done that? Got several t-shirts? I do. And, the thing is, simplicity is just simply hearing God, just simply walking with God with an integrous heart, with a heart that has no hidden agenda. Let your love, it says in Romans chapter 12, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. What does that mean? It means that I have no hidden agenda in loving Casey. I have no hidden agenda. Loving George. These guys are workers in the kingdom, and so many of you, Leslie, what a worker in the kingdom. And I could love Leslie because she does all this stuff and makes our church look good. Or God, we want to see healing, signs, wonders, miracles, because that's what I believe. And I need you to back me up. See, and we can have so many hidden agendas for the things that we want to do. Let love be without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy will always complicate the matter. Hypocrisy, hidden agendas, deceitful motivations of the heart will always cause confusion. In your life, in relationships between husbands and wives, fathers, mothers, children. How many have found that to be true? How many want to somehow get out of the tangled web of what we've made life and what we've made church and what we've made Christianity, what we've made faith? How many want to get out of the tangled web of that stuff and just come into a place of simplicity? Doesn't that just sound yummy? I mean, that's like organic food or something, not messed up with all the other stuff. And that's just where we want to go. That's just, I don't know, I'm just tired of the stuff that we do to look good. Why? Let love be without hypocrisy. The word of God is quick and sharp. It's more powerful than any two-edged sword. It divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And everything is naked and open with him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4 something, 12 something. There was a time that I looked at those scriptures and I thought, oh my goodness, God's just going to point out the nastiness in my life. And oh my goodness, God's just going to point out the dark areas of life. I think God is about bringing exposure to things for the sake of liberty, for the sake of freedom, for the sake of simplicity. Jesus was a master of simplicity. I mean, everybody else that wasn't simple looked at him, they were confused. The scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, they just couldn't figure it out that how could he let his disciples eat on the Sabbath? How could he lay hands on people on the Sabbath? They weren't obeying all the rules. How many know that rules, regulations, make life pretty difficult? Have you noticed lately in our nation, I can imagine what it was like with the founding fathers and how they tried to keep laws off the book so that people could be free. right? To run with what was in their heart, to discover what God had created them for. That's what our founding fathers wanted to do. Those guys read the Bible and they kind of knew how the kingdom worked. And they wanted to, as much as possible, in our government, release something that would look like the kingdom of heaven. So the laws, they realized that laws just don't do it. Now, when you get away from simplicity of godliness, godlike character, godlike nature that all of us have in us, if you're born again, when you get away from that, how many laws do they have now? Has anybody got a bunch? Safe to say a bunch? They got to have laws to counteract laws and laws to enforce laws. And it has gotten so confusing. I just want simplicity. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. When the Pharisees and scribes heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." I love the way Jesus just cuts it to the chase. You know, they had all the laws that had been prescribed by Moses, and then all the laws that the scribes and Pharisees had added to it. Not to mention how many are good at putting laws on yourself that they don't even put on you. You know, and we come into Christ and we say, well, we want to be set free from the law, but then we come into a church system that has more laws. And we exchange the law for Christian law. Now, I'm not preaching just kind of go and do as you feel. That's not what this is about. Grace does not condone sin. It gives you power over sin. Sin will complicate matters. Sin just messes you up, right? I mean, there's nothing as confusing as entering into the darkness of the enemy's domain, right? So grace is never to condone sin. That's not it. But grace will never impose a bunch of laws on the external when the lawgiver is on the inside residing in you so that you can live from faith. You can live from grace. Right? See, I'm a grace preacher. A lot of people misunderstand when I talk about grace. I love grace. I esteem grace highly. I can't live without grace. And I will magnify grace. I'll magnify grace in people that I minister to. I am unashamed about my stand with grace. But don't ever let it confuse you to think that I am condoning sin in my life or in anybody I minister to. If somebody's in sin, will I have grace, mercy, and help them walk through it? Absolutely. In the same way God helped me. Right? But here's Jesus. And in his simplicity, he says, all the laws, all the prophets, everything from Moses on, everything that you know, that you taste, touch, feel, everything that you're chasing is fulfilled in these two commandments. And the two commandments are really a lot alike. Just love God. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love people. Two things. Wow, that's pretty simple, isn't it? How many know it's not easy? I mean, Maya Susie, she has to love me. That's not easy. It's simple. You know, she doesn't have to go anything. She doesn't have to do backflips. All she needs to do is love me. Right? There is a simplicity in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is way beyond what we've made. And I love what Bob brought last week. Remember last week Bob talked about Isaiah chapter 53. And he says, we don't add anything to the report. We don't need to add anything to the finished work of Christ. We don't need to add anything to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another place where Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, and I think it's verse 12, where he says, here's another way to fill all the law and all the prophets. Let's simplify this thing. He says, what you want others to do to you, you do that to them. How many know if we lived by that golden rule, things would be a lot simpler? I mean, if I want you to forgive me, then I better forgive you. If I want you to bless me, then I better bless you. If I have finances and I'm in need, then I better give some finances away. Not so that I can get, but it's a principle of simplicity. That the way you want others to treat you, treat them. The measure that you want others to not judge you and criticize you with, don't judge and criticize them. Doesn't that sound easier? I mean, doesn't that sound more simple? You see, our love for God, we can always be measured by our love for people. What does loving God look like? I mean, does loving God look like coming on a Sunday morning and worshiping and adoring? You know, I can put on a front. I can look really good in front of you. But there's an acid test to my love of God. There's like three times in John chapter 14, four times in John chapter 15, where Jesus connects two things. He says, if you love me, you'll obey me. If you love me, then you'll obey me. You'll obey my commandments, the things that I've spoken to you, the things that I have instructed you in. How many know that it takes a close ear to hear the commandment of the Lord? See, we can either take and make this another set of rules and regulations, but I don't believe this is what Jesus was talking about. Yeah, the letters in red are really good, and we need to obey the letters in red. When Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he wasn't suggesting something. That was a command. And as you love God, you'll obey his commands. See, but we're weird people. What we always want to do is we say, well, that's his command. Therefore, if I do his command, he'll love me. Do you see how that's backwards? And so we turn just the genuine commands and the loving commands of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we turn them into a legalistic way to earn favor. You cannot earn favor by keeping his commands. See, we love because we're loved. I love Jesus because he initiated love in me. I love my God. I love my Father because he poured out. He lavished his love. We heard it in song this morning. He has lavished his love upon me. Behold, what manner of love this is that the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called sons and daughters of God. And it goes on and it says, everyone who has this hope in him, what hope? That you're loved, that you're filled with love, that you're accepted in the Beloved. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he's pure. There's no way that I can purify myself in order to prove that I'm loved. See, we obey out of love, from love. We don't obey for love. You see the difference? It's a subtle difference, but I'll tell you what, that shift can be there. In Revelation chapter 2, and I'm just going to quote from memory because of time. In Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus was being spoken to by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, you've done a lot of good things, Church of Ephesus. You've done many things. You've got good works, and you've got discernment. You call apostles and false apostles, and you're really on track with things. You have learned religion well. But this thing I have against you, you've left your first love. Now, it's interesting that it's the Church of Ephesus that received that admonition. How many remember the Apostle Paul writing to Ephesus? And his prayer, his apostolic prayer was, oh, that you would be rooted and grounded in the love of God. That you would know the love of God. That you'd be immersed in the love of God. And this church, just a few short years, see, I believe the book of Revelation was written actually before 70, probably between 60 and 64 AD. It was only a few short years. Paul probably preached in Ephesus in probably 50 AD. There's only like 14, 15 years span where the Apostle Paul brought them to faith, instituted some leadership in the church there, when Jesus had to make a proclamation over them, return to your first love and do the first works. And if you don't, what's going to happen is your candlestick is going to be taken. That wasn't an idle threat. That wasn't a obey me or else thing. That was just the reality. Is that the only way that your candlestick can remain lit is by remaining in first love. What's first love? What does it look like? You know, for me, first love is a prioritized love. See, I have had to prioritize some things in my life. I love you guys. I really do. I love the Church of Jesus Christ. But I'm sorry. I love my kids more. I love my family more. And the access, yeah, Rachel's going, yeah. The access to my love, you know, for the general body of Christ is going to be a little bit less than my children, my wife. Fair enough? Is that okay? See, there's a priority of love. And I tell you, I love my wife more than I love my kids. I mean, my kids don't supersede my wife's loves. Now Rachel's not so happy. But I have this priority in my life that my wife is going to be a higher priority to me in this stage of my life than even my children. I love my children. My children have free access to me. But I'll tell you what, I can't love my children unless I love my wife. And I can't love you unless I love my family. Does that make sense? But here's the real deal. My first love, my first priority in life is loving my God. That's it. Sorry, honey. But she will testify that when I'm loving God, when I'm pursuing God, I'm a better lover for her. Right? And that's true. So this thing of first love, it's a prioritized love. It's who is first and foremost in your life. How do you maintain that? What does that look like? Can I suggest to you that this thing of first love, it's a consuming fire. One of the things of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I want to minister on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I almost did that today. Didn't think I'd have time. But I want to minister. What is this baptism of the Holy Spirit? Some will say, well, it's speaking in tongues. Some will say, well, it's a baptism of power. Well, it's this. And it can be all those things. But I believe at the essence of being baptized, immersed into the Holy Spirit, is being immersed and baptized into love. It is being baptized into love that allows you to have power. See, it's the love of God that casts out all fear. Many of us don't walk in power because we're fearful. Fear of failure, fear of people, fear of man, fear of offending, fear, 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 fear. And unless we can be baptized, immersed into the love of God, it's more than just saying that, well, I'll go to church on Sunday and I'll behave and I'll do this, I'll do that and the other thing. I don't know about you, but I'm crying out for a new baptism in love. I have looked and I have seen how imperfect my love is. I don't know. I do it from time to time. And sometimes I get overwhelmed. But I want to know, God, how is my love doing? Have you had a love checkup lately? Have you checked up your love with God lately? This isn't putting anything on you. This is just saying that if the church of Ephesus could fall from this prioritized love, this first love, how much more do I need to, from time to time, say, God, how's my love relationship with you doing? Many times they'll say, well, how's your love with people doing? And I have to repent. This baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism into love. It's a consuming fire. There comes one after me, John said, who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. How many know that that's speaking of a love that is so intense that it burns in your heart? The two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus joins up with them, and he tells them, but he opens the scriptures to them, and then they recognize him in the breaking of bread. And afterwards, their testimony is, oh, didn't our hearts burn within us? Oh, the love of God will burn in your heart. The love of God will burn the dross. The love will burn. The love of God will just burn all the crap. All the stuff that vies for. All the stuff that complicates. All the stuff that brings confusion. The love of God. How many want the love of God? How many want a fresh baptism of the love of God? How many know that the love of God is something more than what we're experiencing? It's something more than what we're tasting, something more than what we're feeling. Tell you what brings that baptism is a hunger, a desire. And even that's a grace. Even that's a grace that comes from God. Even the desire to love God and to be loved by God is a grace that comes from heaven. Amen? So how do we walk in? How do we maintain? How do we keep this fire burning? There's several things I feel like, you know, it's not a matter of setting up a bunch of rules and regulations. Well, let's see, now I'll study for an hour and then I'll pray. When I was a young Christian, I wanted to decide, okay, is it more important for me to study the Bible or to worship and to pray? Three things. What are you going to have me do here, God? How do you know that was weird thinking, to say the least? No, this is a relationship. You've traded in a religious set of rules and regulations for relationship. How does relationship happen? Can I suggest to you that throughout your day, just turn your affection to Him? Just turn your affection. It doesn't take much. I was a carpenter for 25 years, and while I'd be working, I could just all of a sudden look at the trees or the beautiful sunny day or even sometimes the 20 below and say, whoa, you know, this is God. And I could go, ah, oh, I love you. I just turn my affection. Do you know how to turn the affection of your heart to your Father? Do you know how to trigger that switch inside, that spirit man that just says, ah? And it doesn't take long. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to get religious about it. You can actually be doing some pretty intense things and shift the attention of your spirit man toward your Heavenly Father. Can I recommend that many times throughout the day that you just turn your affection in gratitude to the Father? This is how focusing on He is first, He is premier, He is the most important thing in my life, the most important person in my life. Shift your attention to Him. In those times of shifting, I want to encourage you that you can hear. You can be doing some pretty incredible things, and you can still hear the still small voice of the Lord. Listen for what He has to say. How many have ever had you just, God just, you know, God can drop something. He can speak a word so quickly and so quietly, and yet it can just work a reverberation in your life that will last a lifetime. Focus your ear. Listen. Father, what are you speaking to me? There's so many of us that don't have the confidence that we can hear God. And we want other people to hear God for us. And we want the pastor to hear God. And there's times it's appropriate for me. You know, Bob is my pastor. And I go to my pastor from time to time and I say, man, I'm just not getting it here. There's issues in my life. There's stuff in my life. And I'm not getting it. You know, and Bob will listen. And he doesn't give me much advice. I don't know why, but he doesn't give me much advice. I think he has the confidence that I can hear the voice of the Lord for myself. And, you know, people's advice is a little bit overrated anyways. But you, as sons and daughters of the Most High God, can hear the voice of the Lord. In this turning your affection, your attention, gratitude, just take a moment to hear. How many times has God just spoken, I love you, son. Son, you bless me. Son, you're a delight to me. It doesn't take much. but it sure makes my day. And it keeps this love relationship alive. The third thing that I believe will keep this first love fire in our bones is that when he speaks something to you, just do it. Don't complicate it with questions. Don't complicate it with mind games. Don't complicate it with, yeah, but God, if I do that, I wanted to do this. Just do it. Just when Father speaks to your heart, just do it. You know, I believe that in spontaneity and a response of spontaneity is the simplest faith that we can have. When we talk about simplicity of love, I tell you right alongside of that, I want to know, and the Lord was speaking at this, but did you hear it this morning? That there is a simplicity of faith. There's a simplicity of believing that God wants to release upon us. So day in and day out, I don't care what you're doing. You all have different jobs, and you moms that have kids screaming at them. Can I just encourage you? I don't care how loud the kids' voices are. Turn your affection. I love you, Daddy. I love you, God. I'm just so grateful that you hear me, that you listen to me, that you care for me, that you communicate with me. Father, I just turn my affection to you. Nothing complicated, nothing bizarre. No great well of worship and song and dance, just my heart. And Father, what do you want to say to me in this moment? What do you want to say to me? What? You love me? You adore me? I'm your friend? Oh, God, thank you. Well, there's somebody over here that needs to know this love. You mean I can just love somebody? I don't even have to preach Christ. I can just love somebody with your love, Father? Wow. That seems kind of easy. Simplify your life in Christ. Just simplify your love. Simplify your love for one another. How many want a fresh baptism in the love of God? You know why I know we need it? Do you know why I know I need it? Because my love is still so conditional. There's somebody I want to honor here today. Those of you who feel like you have an evangelistic gift on your life, you feel like you just want to get the lost, you just love the lost, and you want to show them the gospel of Christ. Would you stand up? There are several. Okay. I want to bless you guys. You guys have tapped into something that I believe the body of Christ needs to tap into. How many of us say that, well, God, I love people, but as soon as somebody doesn't think like we do, as soon as somebody has a different view on sexual preference, for instance, or a political party that tends to want to go differently, how many, all of a sudden, there's a roadblock to your love? Anybody? Me. Okay? It's a love killer. The true evangelist, somebody with an evangelistic heart, just doesn't give a rip about what people are struggling with, of what they believe. They just love people. Because they know that they're created in the image of God. Father, I want to bless the gift of the evangel in this house. Father, I want to bless these that have responded, that have stood, and say that they have a gift to preach the gospel, to the lost. Father, I pray that you increase the intensity of their love for the lost. And Father, I pray that what they're carrying would be infectious to us, the body of Christ. God, that our love could be without hypocrisy, whether it's in the body of Christ, whether it's in our family, or if it's to those who are adamantly opposed to your purposes and your plans in the planet. Father, I pray for an increase of intentional love for the lost on each of these that are standing, on us as the body of Christ. Bless you guys. I just want to honor the gift of the evangelist in the house. It's a gift that we don't talk a lot around here, but I want to honor you guys. And I bless you. You can be seated. Let's stand together. Go ahead, Roy. Yeah.
That's one evangelist. Earlier this service, I just feel an altar call for some who's never received the Lord today or want to recommit your life to the Lord, because this very service has really rocked your foundations. The Holy Spirit's doing a deep work in you right now. And even have a word for you. The Lord says, to this day, I have come to the service. I have come to set you free. If that is one of you out there, please come up. I'll pray with you or meet with Dave or one of the elders. It'd be great.
Or possibly somebody brought you with. You know, we don't have form and ritual to that. But Roy is going to stand over here. There may be some here who the fire has died. You know, where you just realize that circumstances and the confusion of your living situation, your marriage, your life has robbed you from the simple joy, the simple pleasure of loving God and being loved by God. We're going to have some teams up here. You can come up and receive some prayer. If you're here and you're a second generation Christian, you have never, ever been really rocked by the love of God, I want to suggest to you that you need to talk to Roy. That there may be a commitment that you need to make that's your commitment and not your parents' commitment. Okay? Where you need to take a stand. I'd encourage you, that would be somebody that should be talking to Roy too. But the rest of the, you know what? This is a delight. This loving God thing isn't a chore. It's a delight. It's a pleasure. It's the greatest pleasure that we have been invited into. I believe the move that we are, this awakening that we are experiencing, is all about a restoration of a first love with Jesus Christ. How many, man, I'm on board for that. Anybody else? Holy Spirit, would you come and quicken, immerse, saturate us in the love of God. God, that it's more than a four-letter word, it's more than a concept or an idea, but that you would come and inhabit the very core of our being. We say, come. We say, come. Release the power of your love in our lives, that we can live from the inside out and love people with the very love of God. Not a make-believe love, not a look-alike love, the very love of God, very love of Christ. We give you permission in Jesus' name.